Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donny Bergstrom.
We have a great episode for you this week. We're going to begin by going through some of the headlines and some final election updates. Before then, talking to reporters Omar Rashad and Diego Vargas about upcoming immigration changes under the Trump administration in Fresno County. And then we'll conclude with what we're loving this week. So Donny, what's in the news this week?
So we're still doing a lot of election recaps because, and we will continue to do
Has
that.
Has the dust finally settled? Or do we know everything at this point?
Mostly. Okay. So
what's left unknown?
We still don't know, and we haven't been reporting on this that much, but we still don't know the winner of the congressional race that does include Western Fresno County, the Adam Gray versus John Duarte.
Oh, good God, make it end.
I know. I am not a nerd on that particular race. So
is it that close at this point?
Yeah, they're within maybe 200 votes of each other.
Oh, my God. Those commercials were so effective.
I know. I don't watch.
They only spent, I don't know how much money, millions
obscene
and millions.
Obscene amounts of money. Obscene. Yeah, but every subsequent vote drop that happens, or ballot drop that happens, Gray gets his, he's behind, but he cuts the lead a little
okay,
bit more.
Interesting.
Anyway, so that happened in Fresno. Nick Richardson basically looks like he's going to eke out a win for City Council District 6. He doesn't quite have a 1,000-vote lead over Roger Benachter, but at this point, like, there's just not a way that Roger's going to come back at this point. So congratulations to Nick. So that's it on those front, that front. Juliana Morano, our labor and economy reporter, wrote a story about SEIU, who is the service worker union. They represent about almost 25,000 in-home care workers in Fresno County who have been trying to get a raise of over their $16 an hour salary for, gosh, almost 10 years at this point.
It is wild. You can make more money at In-N-Out than doing in-home health care.
Truly.
It is wild.
Yeah, and a lot of the reasons why that they don't is because an argument that is commonly made is that in-home care workers are often relatives of the people who are needing the care, and so why would you pay your relative minimum wage, or not minimum wage, but higher than minimum wage? Which,
that's a strange argument.
It's an interesting argument. It's not the majority, but it is a subset of that. So anyways, all of this to say, they put in a lot of money into local elections. The two supervisors who they backed, Luis Chavez and Gary Bredefield, both won their races. And Juliana's story basically is, are they going to get the race that they wanted? Luis seems to be pretty supportive of that. Gary is doing what Gary does, which is, I want to look at the numbers.
Equivocates. Is the technical
let me
term.
See the let me see the budget, and then he also had some language like they deserve a fair contract, so we'll see how that turns out for them, but we will be watching. So that happened. Giselle Medina, our religion and culture reporter, had a really interesting story about how a lot of LGBTQ plus and transgender supporting organizations in Fresno are preparing for the President Trump administration to come into office. And for them, that's not necessarily, there's policy changes that some folks are expecting, especially from the transgender community. But more importantly, they're just expecting and have already started to see more waves of discrimination, specifically targeting transgender folks. And so just trying to rally support services, create more spaces of community where people who identify as queer or transgender can come together and know that they have a community here in Fresno. So that story was really interesting, and just hearing what some of the struggles that folks in those communities are facing.
And it's understandable. And that ad with the surgeries for inmates, undocumented inmates in prison, that played across the country and
right.
Apparently was really effective in drawing out voters that were on the fringe. And so it's understandable. I just would wonder, A, what policies would impact them, and B, I don't really know what Robert F. Kennedy thinks about trans issues. He's an enigma because he's pro-choice, but he's anti-vaccine, but he's against Cheetos. He's all over the place, so it's hard to know.
Yeah, I think one thing that has come up around the transgender community has been the way in which states and local governments and the federal government should or shouldn't intervene in gender-affirming care for minors in particular.
Yeah.
And so that's a really hotly debated topic, I would say, across the ideological spectrum.
I imagine the state will be involved in that in a significant way.
I can only imagine that the state of California, and then there's also the other debate that we've had in California, although the state has tried to put the lid on it, which is, should schools be allowed to basically out kids that are identifying as transgender or non-binary to parents who may not know about it? This came up in Clovis Unified. The state of California has basically said that they don't want schools to be doing this practice. That could be one place where we see the federal government reverse. On today's podcast, we have Fresnoland reporters Omar Rashad and Diego Vargas here to talk about an important topic, especially in the wake of the election, which is immigration. President-elect Trump has promised mass deportations, but journalists and immigrants and immigration advocates have been grasping to figure out the details of those mass deportation plans and what it actually means. That's especially true here in Fresno County, where we have a very large undocumented immigrant community. One way, one of the many ways that Trump has said he's planning to carry out mass deportations is through leaning really heavily on local law enforcement agencies to help with this. And Omar, you reported a story last week where you talked to both the Fresno County Sheriff, John Zanoni, and the Fresno Police Department Interim Police Chief, Mindy Castro, about their reaction to the call for local law enforcement to be a part of the mass deportation effort. And you learned that neither agency is really planning on getting involved. Could you just share a little bit more about what they told you and a little bit more of the background on that?
Yeah, that's right. So Fresno County Sheriff John Zanoni and Fresno Interim Police Chief Mindy Castro both said that they think that the role of local law enforcement over the next 4 years is not going to dramatically change from what it is now or what it has been, at least for the last 4 years under President Biden. And specifically, that's because of SB 54 in California, which is more commonly known as the California Values Act. The Values Act basically prohibits local law enforcement in California from directly cooperating with ICE. At the same time, though, SB 54 does have some exceptions in which local law enforcement can cooperate with ICE, and that has to do with sharing information, and that also has to do with transferring people in their custody if they are undocumented to ICE under those exceptions.
What happens if they don't comply with those exceptions?
That's a really interesting question. I think we see immigration advocates and immigration attorneys sound the alarm first, if that's ever the case. There have been a few instances of litigation over local law enforcement not abiding by SB 54. In California, we also have two other laws, the Truth Act and the Trust Act. And so this could be grounds for litigation. Essentially, local law enforcement would be opening themselves up to getting sued by civil rights or immigration related advocacy organizations, especially if they have attorneys on their staff. So the Fresno Police Department, according to Interim Police Chief Mindy Castro, has not shared information about undocumented people and has not assisted ICE with anything in the last several years. And that's according to Chief Castro in an interview we had last week. And another detail is Sheriff John Zanoni really emphasized how local law enforcement, when they're out in the field, their job is not to enforce federal immigration law. And that obviously has to do with SB 54. That has to do with just the overall fact that both those agencies and their leaders say that they have their work cut out for them just dealing with crime, that enforcing immigration is something that they just don't have the capacity or resources to take on. Now, really, the crux of local law enforcement cooperation as of right now relies on Fresno County Jail, and the Sheriff's Office does oversee the oversees, operates the Fresno County Jail. And over the last 4 years, the sheriff's office has transferred custody of undocumented people to ICE if they meet exceptions in SB 54. And those numbers over the last year, or sorry, over the last 4 years, has fluctuated from 18 people in 1 year to as much as 44 or 47 people in 1 year. And essentially, he does not think those numbers will dramatically fluctuate during the Trump presidency. He thinks that those figures will remain particularly consistent and we won't see a drastic increase in custody transfers. Yeah.
What kind of crimes are exempt from the SB 54 protections? Like, what? How bad does the crime that you have to commit need to be for you to get deported?
Yeah. For the exceptions under SB 54, essentially, if an undocumented person has a prior conviction of a violent felony and some misdemeanors, that could be grounds for being an exception to SB 54.
There was a quote in your story from Sheriff Zanoni that really stuck out to me. I'm going to read it. Sheriff Zanoni said, "I do not believe there's going to be mass deportations. It would be devastating to our economy. It would be devastating to many of these families who have come here to America for a better life to help their families." And what stuck out to me about that quote, and you mentioned it in the story, is how different that tone is compared to former Sheriff Margaret Mims during the first Trump administration. Could you just elaborate on why those approaches sound so different?
Yeah, there's a big tonal difference there for sure. Yeah.
No, that's absolutely right. Former Sheriff Mims came out in 2016 and said that Fresno County Sheriff's Office collaboration with ICE could be a model across the nation, and was very clear about how she could essentially set an example for what local cooperation with federal authorities on enforcing immigration law could look like. Back then, Sheriff Mims had ICE agents staffed at the Fresno County Jail that would essentially go through everyone who was booked through county jail and verify their immigration status. And today, like you said, very different. Sheriff Zanoni has said that ICE agents are not allowed to make arrests inside the Fresno County Jail. They are not staffed inside the jail. They cannot enter the jail just to find individuals to arrest. However, that does not mean they cannot enter the lobby of a jail. And this distinction is really important. Essentially, Sheriff Zanoni explained to me how the lobby of a jail facility and the area outside a county facility are public areas. He cannot keep federal agents from entering those public areas. Therefore, he cannot have any say over whether or not federal agents, ICE agents, arrest individuals in the lobby of a jail or outside a county facility. And on top of that, he mentioned the sheriff's office does not track those arrests because they're not the agency making those arrests. And he actually said to me that he would like to know how many arrests that ICE is making in the lobby of jails or outside county facilities.
So this is part of a bigger conversation around, you know, sanctuary cities. SB 54 is technically why California is considered a sanctuary state. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Diego, I want to turn to you. So Diego Vargas is our community correspondent at Fresno Land, and you have been reporting a story about Mendota in western Fresno County, and the mayor of Mendota, an immigrant himself, has been making a call for sanctuary cities. And could you explain a little bit about why he's making that call and what he wants to see?
Yeah, so Mayor Victor Martinez of Mendota, he himself is an immigrant, as you described. Where he is coming from, he has a tone similar to Zanoni, in which he says that the people who are here to work hard, they're here to make their future, to build their future. And where he's coming from is that he, first of all, doesn't think that mass deportations are a good idea. And he feels that the people who are already here deserve a chance to keep working for the life that they've built. And that's why they want to designate Mendota as a sanctuary for immigrants. At the same time, he also said that though we should have a secure border, he thinks that the people who are here still deserve that chance to stay here.
And what would a sanctuary city look like in Mendota? Did he describe what additional protections that could bring?
No, he didn't get into any specifics on what that would look like, the timeline, when we would see that happen. But this is a renewed conversation in Mendota. Through my research, I was able to see that talks of designating the city as a sanctuary started as early as 2017 during the first Trump administration. So it's definitely a recurring theme there.
And we've seen calls, repeated calls for sanctuary cities across California in recent days. Los Angeles Unified most recently announced last week that they're going to be making moves in that direction. We haven't seen anything from the Fresno City Council yet, but do we expect, Omar, the Fresno City Council to potentially jump back into this conversation?
Yeah, I think that's where advocates are putting their attention to. It's unclear whether or not the Fresno City Council would put forth a sanctuary city resolution. And I think what's really key here is when we talk about local law enforcement agencies not cooperating with ICE, can still go out, make arrests, and do whatever it wants to do on its end. And a sanctuary city resolution at the end of the day would, I think, communicate to residents, folks who call Fresno home, where their leaders stand on what immigration policy could look like in this country over the next 4 years.
And this is just one. We've been talking about local law enforcement and what local governments can do, but Trump is also talking about potentially pulling in the military to the National Guard to enforce mass deportations, all of which would be very complicated.
Yeah, we're in a discussion about competency little bit, right? And that's the real discussion. If you look at what the Attorney General of California said recently, 80% of their litigation efforts against Trump's immigration policies during his first term. And the reason he cited is that a lot of the things were done quickly, meaning that there's a lack of competency in the efforts made to implement some of his policies and programs. So I think it is really open in terms of whether he'll even be able to implement this at any scale.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to continue to do at Fresnoland, is every avenue that he says he's going to use, we're going to say, start looking into, okay, how is this actually going to work in Fresno? What agencies are going to be responsible for carrying it out? What institutions have to get involved?
Yeah, probably the most interesting is the discussion around the Alien and Sedition Act of 1798. I would pose to the administration, who was the president during that?
Let's see, what year are we in?
1798. It was John Adams, our second president, and that was right when war with France was on the horizon. And so it was used originally to potentially to remove or deport French people from North America. And then it was used again during various wartime administrations, probably most famously Japanese internment. It was used again. So there's a question as to whether we're in a wartime administration. That's the discussion. Is this a, quote, invasion? That's the language Trump is using to describe immigration, whether that would work.
Yeah, I will not comment on whether it will work or not, because that's outside of my lane. But I will just say, I had a conversation recently with Masa Masumoto, who's been on the podcast before, talking about his book that was a reflection on how the Japanese incarceration process really affected his family. And I just feel like now is a good time to revisit those types of stories, to remember the ways in which we as a community, we as a society, justify these decisions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the business community, I remember him writing about in his book, were saying things like, no, like deportations would be really harmful to our workers and our economy. Many things we're hearing right now about the mass deportation plan in the Central Valley, a lot of farmers and big ag groups are coming out against it. And then it went from, oh, this is going to be bad for our economy and our workers, to, well, why don't you wait until after harvest? So those rhetoric shifts are interesting to watch, and I will be watching them here as well.
It's interesting to think about the discussion around inflation, right? Food prices will rise if seasonal workers are deported, mm-hmm. which is one of, so we have conflicting campaign promises.
Yeah.
What will actually happen is unclear to me. We're going to end this podcast where we love to end, which is what we're loving this week. We're going to start with our guests. Who wants to go first?
So for me, what I've been loving this week is coupons. And
where do you find
coupon them? Coupons.
This is a good one.
My personal inbox for my email is absolutely flooded with get 15% off codes and
Black Friday stuff. It's peak right now.
It's all over the place. And this is a pro tip for everybody out there in Fresno. If you want to be able to find deals at any moment in your life, create an email account specifically dedicated to signing up for
that
websites.
Is genius. I would
that is
because mine is flooded. It's mixed with good stuff and then absolute garbage.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought to make a burn account.
I have a constant stream of companies trying to sell me something with 15%, 10% off codes. So for me, my brainstorming doesn't start on Google. It starts in my email inbox. And anytime I look at Costco or Sam's Club or Vans telling me, hey, you should buy this, I think maybe I should buy that.
I love this.
That's incredible.
That's a great hack.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I'm loving this week, I just got takeout from this great restaurant, China Station Food to Go. It's right next to Fresno State. And if you are on a budget, which I'm always on a budget, and you want to buy one meal, stretch it out to maybe two meals. Hey, this one $15, $14 purchase is going to last you maybe most of the day. I would highly recommend Chinese Station Food to Go. The folks in there remember you by name. And there's one person who's known me for like close to 2 years. And I definitely go over to that restaurant pretty frequently. And it's just cool to see a familiar face. I think they love seeing familiar faces. I just got a Szechuan tofu combo the other day. And I think a while back I think it was a Kung Pao shrimp. And yeah, it's bang for your buck.
So they don't play around with portions.
They do not play around with portions.
They have a shovel behind the counter. Yep. That's what I need Chinese food. Donnie, what are you loving this week?
Okay, I will give a preview. We have a Fresnoland holiday gift guide that's about to come out. Actually, it will be out by the time this episode comes out. And Central Fish, guys, is a great gift buying destination.
Like a gift card?
Okay, first of all, Central Fish, for those of you who do not know, is a Japanese grocery store in Chinatown. And has lots of good Japanese food, has a restaurant. Their udon soup is great. Get it. They have other good things too. Their takeout sushi, also great, also very relatively inexpensive. However, the Pokemon selection is excellent. And my kids are obsessed with Pokemon right now. And so all things Pokemon, they have lots of Hello Kitty. They have lots of spicy snacks imported from Japan. They have a great cat selection. Of like cat gifts. And so if you have any cat lovers in your family,
say more about cat gifts. You need to unpack this a little bit.
Like cat figurines.
Oh my gosh.
Cat coin pouches.
Wow.
Cat posters.
Oh my God. What have I been doing?
I know. No, and people who know me know I'm a big cat person. So I have four cats. I'm obsessed. And my daughter's obsessed with cats. So anyways, I got my kids like so many little trinkets for their stockings already from Central Fish. We are big fans.
That's amazing. What am I loving this week? I have been waiting to watch a movie for a long time. And I will confess what just literally happened today.
It's the Hallmark Channel movies, isn't it?
Yes, I've DVR'd all of them. No, Donnie. I have been waiting for this movie called A Real Pain. It's got Kieran Culkin, Jesse Eisenberg.
I like Kieran Culkin.
Yeah, they're hilarious. And they kind of, Jesse in this is more subdued, but Kieran Culkin is peak Succession vibes, just manic and just wild. Anyway, so they're two cousins who are Jewish, whose grandmother just passes away, and she gives them money to go on a tour of Poland to see where they came from. And it's essentially just a travel movie, but it is incredible. There is a scene where they go and they smoke a joint on the roof and they go back to their hotel room and they're just laying on their bed eating Pringles, watching one of those like hotel like welcome videos on their screen. And it's perfectly comedically timed. I loved it. And ironically, I was watching it just before I came here, and the power went out at the Maya Movie Theater. And so I'm only 3/4 of the way through, so I haven't seen the ending.
What?
And there's only one showing a day in the whole city because it's like an art house movie. And so I have to wait until I can see it again.
Did they give you a refund?
They gave me a voucher, but
talk about like closure, no closure.
<know.
laughs> Wow.
Especially given the themes of the movie. But in any case, that's what I'm loving this week.
Great. I'll go see it.
This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan, and our song comes from Stateless Rat.